order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Council President Buba von der Haar?
Here.
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And we have Scott Allen with the CUNA United Methodist Church with us for the invocation, and then we will follow that up with the Pledge of Allegiance. If you will all rise, please.
Our gracious and almighty God, we give thanks for the many blessings of our community. We give thanks for our leadership and for the reliance upon the foundation of tradition and the willingness to embrace a vision for the future. We ask that you inspire the decisions that are made this evening, that the work that is done reflect the values that promote freedom and the highest good for all. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor Allen. All right, first item on the agenda is the consent agenda. Questions, comments, motion to approve?
If there's nothing, I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Ruben von der Haar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. If you would like, you can grab that from her. And we are sorry about that.
I'm sorry. Next year I will be on top of it.
Well, I think actually we may have a solution for next year, but we'll get it figured out.
Back in Boise instead of Arizona, so.
Ah, okay. All right, thank you. Community reports, CUNA Library, plant facilities. Tam.
Janet will be joining me soon, I hope. Thank you for letting us be here tonight. CUNA is growing, and library is one of the most important information centers in the community. CUNA is growing, and we have embraced the growth. With that, the CUNA Library is asking for a plant facilities levy for the next 10 years for $450,000. What that means to the community, if this levy passes, we'll be able to expand to meet the needs of the library users. There's a need for after-hour meeting rooms, for more crafts and art rooms, children's areas, computer growth areas are needed. We need tutor rooms for folks to use. We need quiet reading areas because libraries aren't always quiet areas. We need a teen room. We need to update our library. Our library is now 21 years old, and so the heating cooling system needs to be updated. The library needs to be updated, and we feel like now is the time to ask our community, as it grows, to grow with us. And so with that, I'm just going to use a $200,000 home tonight. If you had a $200,000 home, minus the $100,000 home exemption, it would cost you about $25 a year or $2.09 a month to support our levy. We feel that the library is so vital to any community, and we appreciate you listening to us tonight. Do you have questions for me?
Questions?
I don't.
I will just say that the library is not a quiet place when I am there with Mayor's Book Club. We make a lot of noise.
And we've had an open house today, and I can definitely tell you it is not a quiet place.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, I will say that in my time of doing that, I have a good time doing that, but I was really surprised in all the services that the library provides for people. It's not just about checking out books, so.
And that's what a lot of people think, but libraries
right.
have changed. And so,
right.
and we have tried, Janet and I, to embrace our services to help the people of CUNA.
Good. Very good.
So any questions?
Any other questions?
No.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
Remember to vote May 21st.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And that just leads us right into a public hearing tabled for March 19, 2019. Consideration on 18-07-AN annexation and 18-05ZC rezone for Thistle Farm LLC and Bodall Farm LLC, Sam Weiger. Thank you, sir.
Mayor, members of the council, Sam Weiger, Planner 1, 751 West 4th Street. Staff has determined the annexation and rezone generally comply with the goals and policies for CUNA City, Title 5 of the CUNA City Code, Idaho Code, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan, and forwards a recommendation of approval for case numbers 18-07AN annexation and 18-05-ZC rezone. On page one of the staff report in the process and noticing section and notifications, the site posted should be April 23rd, 2019. The applicant posted the signs in a timely manner for tonight's public hearing, complying with code. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended a condition that states the preliminary plat for the 38.98-acre parcel would include no more than 25 acres of multifamily housing. Council approved ordinance number 2019-04, which removed multifamily from a commercial zone. Therefore, staff recommends condition number 12 on the staff report be removed from the conditions of approval. I will turn it over to Mr. Bill Gigray considering the legalities of the case.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I believe the issue here is a letter that was written by the applicant's attorney, Mr. Bauer, who's here and who will well speak for himself on this matter. And I believe it has to do with the multifamily change in the zoning ordinance for which they've made an application for. His position and the law that they cited was that basically an applicant is entitled to the law at the time that they file an application for a permit, and I agree that that's a correct statement of the law, but in this instance, I'm not aware, based on my inquiry of staff, as to whether or not, other than the zoning, the annexation and the zoning application, was there any application that was filed in this regard, either for a PUD or a conditional use permit or a building permit or something that would be a permit for a specific use of the subject property for a multifamily use within the zone. And it's my understanding that the record is that there is not any such application. And I would just report to the city council and to the mayor that I was asked by a city staff to provide a letter or a memorandum in response to this letter from Mr. Bauer, which I did provide to Sam, and it was my opinion that their objection does not stand in this instance because we don't have an application for a permit for a specific use of the property. If their position were the law in Idaho, you would have flex zoning forever because you have the right to zone property. We have specific statutes for it, and that zoning can change. If somebody is already using property and you change the zoning law, which now would not make it allowable, and you have grandfather rights if you actually have that property in use to be able to maintain it. You can't enlarge it, but you can continue to use it. Otherwise, if the law were the other way, then every time somebody was zoned in a property than the zoning ordinance that was in place at the time, which could go back in decades in history, would still apply today in certain parts of the city, and I submit that is not the Idaho law. So, you know, whether or not you grant this application or not, I'm not trying to get to the merits of it. I just am here to discuss that one legal issue that was raised by the applicant. Now, Mr. Bauer was kind enough to call me to review his position on this, and of course I've told him he has every right to make whatever legal argument he wants to make to the city council, and he's been very courteous in this whole process, and I appreciate he's very professional, but that's my opinion. It was the opinion I rendered to staff.
Very good. Questions for Mr. Gigray?
If I'm understanding the legal interpretation correctly, there is agreement that the condition 12, the 25 acres, should be removed, but there's just disagreement about whether there's further limitations on what can be done with the property based on the ordinance we passed last month. Is that my understanding of the legal?
I think the legal argument, as I understand it, is that they are taking the position at the time they made the application that they advised the staff that they intended to develop it, part of it, in a multi-family use. But there were no applications filed for any permits that would allow that within the zoning, and they may have on their own felt they didn't need to because that was what the zoning ordinance allowed at the time. But subsequently, the zoning ordinance changed, but we have no permit applications that hold that they are able to rely upon as saying those were in place at the time we filed the permit, and you have the right to zone and to amend your zoning ordinances at any point, and that doesn't tie you to any restrictions on the land use within those zones unless a permit has already been granted or one has been applied for.
I guess not to belabor it, but for the purposes just of the annexation and the rezone tonight, the way that I read the packet was that the parties were at least in agreement that the condition planning and zoning recommended would not need to be continued forward. It seemed like the parties were both in agreement that there's no reason to continue to include this no more than 25 acres can be used for multifamily thing. There's disagreement about what happens next, but for the purposes of specifically the annexation and the rezone, when you come up, you can speak to it. Okay.
I think the staff and Mr. Bauer, for his client, the applicant, should answer that question. I'm really just providing legal advice to the staff on this one point, which in my mind, our zoning ordinance at the time, if you grant this application in a zone as it currently is in our ordinances, that's what will apply to their application as our ordinance now states. That's my point.
Okay.
So again, not to belabor, but I just want us to be crystal clear. You're saying if we do go ahead and grant the rezone application as presented right now, your legal read on it is that that would foreclose their ability to do multifamily at all within the commercial zone?
Excuse me. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, that was it.
Mr. Mayor, Councilman Von der Haar, am I close?
You're close.
I'm sorry. To me, like Gabriel, I can understand. If they can apply for a PUD, there are certain rules under PUD where you can have some mixed use within a zone, and there are some allowances there. The staff would have to answer that question. It would seem to me to be the most logical vehicle. If the applicant can't live with the zone the way it is, they may want to consider whether or not they want to withdraw their application and seek another zone of the subject property on annexation. But that's something that's up to them. What they'll agree to or not agree to, Mr. Bauer's in a much better position to tell you than I am.
Okay, so just to be crystal clear, your reading of it, though, and your legal advice to us would be that if we agree with your interpretation, granting the zoning tonight would foreclose them from being able to do multifamily in the portion that would be rezoned as commercial. Am I understanding that correctly? Just so we fully understand the impact of whatever decision we decide to make.
Excuse me. As your zoning ordinance is currently written at this time when the ordinance would take effect, yes.
Okay.
Very good. Any further questions for Mr. Gigray?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, so do we have an applicant that wants to present, or how do we want it? This is a little different than we normally do.
I have some drawings I'd like to give you. For my class size?
Yeah.
We'll pass them.
And
is
just
there
so
one for Chris?
The clerk has one for the record.
Thank you.
There's only five. Sorry, let me throw them all at you, Joe.
All right, we'll have to pass them off to you. No, I'll just look at them real quick.
I can share with you, too.
You got to put the readers on first here. Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Tim Eck. I am the applicant. I live at 6152 West Half Moon Lane in Eagle, Idaho. The applicant before you this evening includes three parcels on the southwest corner of 10 Mile and Hubbard. The two westerly parcels that I will refer to as the Steiner property total 39.56 acres. The easterly parcel that I will refer to as Bodal is 38.98 acres. The Steiner parcel sits one quarter mile west of 10 Mile, is contiguous to existing city limits. It has a land use designation as medium density residential. On these parcels, we are requesting annexation into CUNA and a rezone to R6. R6 being exactly in the middle of the anticipated use designation in medium density residential. These parcels meet the city's annexation standards and the requested zoning. R6 is proper. There are no existing residential developments contiguous to the Steiner parcel. This application for annexation and initial zoning was heard by CUNA Planning and Zoning 4 months ago on January 8th and received a recommendation for approval from Planning and Zoning as submitted without any additional restriction conditions. The Bodal parcel sits on the southwest corner of 10 Mile and Hubbard. The Bodal parcel is already annexed and zoned ag. Our application requests a rezone to C1. While our application was pending, the city has amended the allowed use in the C1 zone. The requested C1 zone existing at the time of the application should be approved because the zone is consistent with the comp plan. On January 8th, the CUNA Planning and Zoning Commission, after extensive deliberation, specifically about the multifamily use allowed by right under the C1 zone, passed a motion recommending approval of the then applicable C1 zone with limitation only as it pertains to the multifamily use allowed by right under the C1 zone. The Commission's concern was limited to the potential impact of 38.98 acres being improved entirely as multifamily residential. The deliberation continued, and I suggested limiting any multifamily residential component to a maximum of 25 acres. The deliberation continued, and it was acknowledged that the limitation offer was generous, and the Commission proceeded to a motion and a vote to recommend approval of the rezone to the then current C1 zone to City Council with the condition that only 25 acres be used for multifamily. The condition was and is still acceptable, and we are requesting approval tonight as recommended by the Commission. The only outstanding issue is what will be the uses allowed following approval due to the City's amendment of the allowed uses in the C1 zone that occurred while this application was pending. My attorney, Jeff Bauer, will follow with testimony about the rights of the applicant that vest upon submittal of the application. But before he speaks, I want to provide you some history surrounding the Bodal parcel. I was a member of the LLC that previously owned this parcel dating back about 15 years, and I am a member of the LLC that currently owns this parcel. The previous owner made a request to the then active Planning and Zoning Director for a comp plan amendment, changing the land use designation for a portion of the property to commercial to accommodate the layout for the preliminary plat for Myrtlewood subdivision. That's what I gave you tonight. When the director took up this action, he decided to amend the land use designation on the entire 39-acre parcel to commercial. While this action came as a surprise to the owner, it was not a major concern since multifamily residential was allowed by right in the C1 zone. The previous owner fell on hard times, and during the economic collapse, the previous LLC was dissolved, and the current owner acquired the parcel by retiring all the outstanding debt. Aware of the commercial land use designation under the comp plan, we worked diligently for an extended period of time with planning and zoning staff in an effort to understand all of the allowed uses available under the various commercial zones that would be appropriate and consistent with the comp plan, and at all times expecting a significant residential component. After extensive study and coordination with planning and zoning staff, the decision was made to proceed with a C1 zone application. It being understood and acknowledged by planning staff that the C1 zone would allow a multifamily residential component by right. We then proceeded in good faith to file the pending rezone application, aware of and expecting the land use designation under the comp plan and allowed uses permitted under the C1 zone as it existed at the time of the application. After making application in late summer, it took over 2 months for the application to be reviewed. A completeness letter for the application was issued on November 19, 2018. CUNA is in a significant growth mode, and planning and zoning staff is significantly overwhelmed and understaffed. Had this application proceeded timely, it would have been complete prior to the recent zoning amendments to the C1 zone. Had CUNA not fast-tracked the zoning modification and waived the multiple readings, the application would have been completed before the zoning change. Since the first layout in 2007, this parcel was planned to have a multifamily residential component. The council knows I've been very involved in this community, both with residential and commercial products and entitlement for more than a decade. At this time and for the foreseeable future, I do not see any demand in CUNA for 40 acres of commercial without a residential component. The only way to bring a successful commercial project to a portion of this property is to include a more dense residential component as we propose and planning and zoning accepted. We believe this application and the right to use the property for multifamily is vested under the uses allowed under C1 as it existed on the date of the application. I also would like to remind the City Council about the LID. This property was annexed into the LID and assessed with 117 EDUs. On 11/28/2012, we retired the LID assessment by tendering payment to the City of CUNA. We were assessed $9,701.25 per acre, which represents a partial payment of 3 residential sewer connections per acre. The assessment accrued interest until paid, resulting in a total payment of $477,821.29, providing us with 117 partially prepaid sewer connections. I question how, after paying $477,821 for sewer connections for 117 residential units, it could be considered reasonable to change the C1 zone to disallow the residential use on this parcel. Perhaps we should consider a refund, including appropriate interest, of all the sewer connection fees I paid for this property for the residential use. Now I'll let Mr. Bauer come up and finish.
Okay.
Mayor Steer, council members, thank you. As Tim mentioned, I'm here just to talk about the narrow issue of what rights are vested if you approve the zoning that we've asked for on what he calls the Vodal property, and that is the property to the east. So already annexed, already zoned, we're just asking for a rezone. So in this case, our C1 rezone application was deemed complete back in November, so almost 6 months ago. In that application, we did specifically note that we were seeking the C1 zoning for the allowed use at the time of multifamily residential. As Tim mentioned, at the time, C1 zone did allow by right multifamily. Except for this rezone, no other permit or application was required under the city code to use the property for multifamily at the time. In February, as you all know, you did pass 2019-04, which changed the land use table and took out multifamily from C1 zone. Our position, as Mr. Gigray stated, is we don't believe that amendment affects us because the law at the time of the application applies, and we did submit an application for multifamily use. We submitted the only application that is available in the city for multifamily use, which was the rezone. In this case, and I've cited it in my letter, the black letter law in the state of Idaho, and I'm quoting, "Idaho law is well established that an applicant's rights are determined by the ordinance in existence at the time of filing an application. This is a broad statement of law. It doesn't say the applicant's rights and the permit or the specific development. So the applicant's rights and the property are fixed at the time of application. Planning and zoning recognized this. We knew our rights when we filed, as Tim mentioned, and planning and zoning did too. They had great concern that we would develop the whole property with multifamily, as was our right. So they limited it to 25 acres. We still are in favor of that limitation, and we hope you approve us tonight with that limitation, recognizing our multifamily right. I thank Mr. Gigray for his kind comments. He's been great to work with as well. But we do, you know, fundamentally disagree on the law here, and I've read his memo, and I think it's incorrect, and I'll tell you why. First, it's too narrow. He's reading it for specific applications. Second, his position would be that the only way we could preserve our rights would be to file a multifamily use application, and no such application exists. So if you accept his interpretation, there would be no way for us to reserve our rights. The city could amend the code out from under an applicant, and there would be nothing we could do about it. That's specifically the reason why Idaho's adopted this line of case law, so that localities can't do that. In quick summary, again, we're asking for your approval with the condition imposed, because we think that that will allow our vested use to continue, and it will inform the future use. And I will stand for questions specifically to Mr. Gigray's comments.
So, clarify, you're going to speak for Mr. Gigray? Is that what you're...
Well, he made a few comments about flex zoning, grandfathered rights, and withdrawal that I didn't quite get a chance to address, and I'd like the opportunity to, Mayor Steer.
I'd like to hear it.
Okay.
Yes, well.
First is this idea of flex zoning, and this is the basic idea. If you accept our position, for the rest of time, we can use our property for the old code's allowed uses. And that's not our position, and I don't think that's what Idaho law says. Idaho law has an answer to this, and that's in LUPA, the Local Land Use Planning Act. It gives this council the authority to rezone property every 4 years without it being deemed downzoning or considered a taking. So if you agree with us tonight, you approve our application, and you agree that we have vested multifamily use, which is what the law provides, if we don't act on that within 4 years, you can rezone our property, and all of the rights associated with this application have gone by the wayside. There is no flex zoning into perpetuity. Second, grandfather rights. We aren't arguing for grandfather rights. These are two different lines of authority. A grandfather right, as you all know, is existing use at the time, then becomes illegal based on a future zoning ordinance. That's a legal non-conforming use, and there's tons of case law on that as well. This is something different. This is law at the time of the application applying. Different lines of authority adopted by the Idaho Supreme Court for similar reasons, and that's to protect applicants and their property rights. Lastly, with the withdrawal, we are not going to withdraw this application, even if you don't agree with us, because we do think we have vested rights this time on this application. And, you know, annexation and rezoning, they are discretionary in some sense, but if you disagree with our view on the vested right to multifamily, I think our only option at that point would be to ask a court to review that specific issue, and hopefully we can come back down with direction from the court about whether that's allowed or not. And I think I've addressed all of Mr. Gigray's comments, so I thank you for the additional time.
So just to clarify then, if we don't approve what you're asking for, we're going to go to court.
Mayor Steer, that wasn't my intention. I think in this case, everyone agrees that commercial zoning is proper here on the Bodall property. It's designated as commercial. We're asking for C1. We have all the, you know, infrastructure ready to develop the property. The question is really, when you approve the zoning that we've asked for, what are the allowed uses? And I think that is a question that, you know, Mr. Giger and I are disagreeing. And frankly, I think a court would side with us, but I don't want to go there. What I'm here tonight to tell you is that the law allows you to keep the condition that planning and zoning adopted in place, and that satisfies the applicant and the city. I think it balances the commercial zoning with the practicalities of development needing the multifamily use to support it.
Okay.
On this map, can you tell me what, I'm having a hard time knowing what is multifamily on this? Understanding that the preliminary plat's not before us tonight, but just because the map was specifically brought to our attention, I was just hoping you could help me understand that better.
Mayor Steer, Councilmember Boobman Vonderhart, that is an old map, it's my understanding. The reason it was provided to you by Mr. Eck was just to show that there has been an ongoing dialogue with the city to use the property for multifamily.
Even though there's no multifamily in the map?
I'm sorry, I haven't seen the map. I'm going to let Mr. Eck answer that one.
The map I presented was for, Tim Eck, the applicant. The map that was presented was a preliminary plat that was produced, and there were two of them. I only brought one. One was produced in 2007, then it was slightly modified in 2009. Since that time, and subject to the comp plan amendment changing it all to commercial, it was intended to move forward with a commercial component like that showed, but that the residential component would go to some form of higher density or multifamily as would have been allowed under the existing C1 zone. So there is no multifamily on that plat. That just identifies the fact that there's always been planned to be a large residential component mm-hmm. with a small commercial component. Today there's likely more commercial desire, but I can't imagine we have. I've got an LOI that was brought to me by a referral from your
Economic Development Director,
and that particular LOI requires a residential component because they don't need 40 acres of commercial. I don't know if I'm going to move forward with that LOI. I really, and she'll testify, I've had several meetings with her, I really want to analyze any kind of commercial use that goes in there behind a higher density residential component to make sure that it's appropriate for the surrounding area with all the residential that we've got going on, that it's already there. I don't want a car lot there. I want something that's going to be good for the community, which creates a transition zone from commercial to high density attached multifamily product into lower density all the way down to Royal Indio where we got R4. So in that mile stretch, the vision would be to start at R4 at Indian Creek, get up to R6 through the Steiner property, go to some partial attached product with actual commercial use in the Bodal property. And if you take that away, you're going to be shoving strict commercial use right against medium density residential. Not the best planning in my book, when I've worked for years with planning and zoning, trying to come up with an idea that would work really well. And that is the commercial with multifamily transition to medium density residential to lower medium density residential down to R4 at Indian Creek.
Okay.
Is it, just a quick question, and I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. You said our economic developer, Lisa, said there's no need for 40 acres of commercial. Is that right? Is that what I heard?
I've been on this property for 14 years, and I've not received an interest in anybody for 40 acres of commercial.
Well, I know, but I'm asking, did you say she said that?
She did not say there was not any for 40, but she did refer a potential buyer to me that we've met with, and all they need is 16 acres. And they'll want to take it from, I guess, about maybe 13 acres. They have a very nice conceivable commercial use, but they transition into to high-density residential or multifamily residential.
Lisa?
Okay.
Lisa, do you want to answer to that?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, without going into details of the confidentiality of one of the clients I've been working with, there was someone we sent their way that has an interest in developing a mixed-use concept. They have a commercial component where they were looking for 15 to 30 acres for what they were looking to do. We indicated that if they wanted to do a mixed use, they'd have to be in a mixed use zone to do the residential type portion. There's a number of other people who, just a point of reference, I think I've provided this in the past, but to look at mixed use developments, like if you were to look at a Fred Meyer type complex, the one that's on Chinon and Linder, for example, is 36 acres of commercial, just to kind of put that into scale. So I think there could certainly be opportunities for a larger scale development. It just depends. This was just one specific use, and they're aware that they can't do apartments or multifamily in a commercial designation. So if they were to go down that route, they would have to put together a PUD or put together a mixed-use request.
And so that might be subject to communication with people that have never spoke to me, but the one application or the one potential buyer that I've spoke with would have to have a residential component to fit their program. And the LOI that I've actually got in my briefcase anticipates the C1 zone as it was applied for. And if we put a Fred Meyer type complex similar to Chinden, we're going to be sticking that right up against medium density residential with no transition of the higher density residential to separate the commercial from medium density residential.
Okay. Further questions? Okay. Thank you. So this is a public hearing. I didn't have anyone sign up to testify. Is there someone who wishes to testify that would like to sign in? In favor, neutral, opposed, wherever you want to be. You like it, you don't like it, you don't care. No pressure. If you would just go ahead and go to the microphone, and we like redundancy, so if you state your name and address again for the record, and then you can ask away.
Okay. I'm Vicki Johnston. I live at 3720 West Hubbard, which would be across the street from the Steiner one, I guess.
Okay.
But my question, I had a couple that came up, and I actually sent a series of questions to twice in the past when we had these scheduled and then didn't have them. So I don't know, do you guys have those?
We actually do have a letter from you in our packet.
Okay. So I do want to ask some of those questions, but one of them that came up just now when he was talking about, we went to the neighborhood meeting, and I don't know the legalities of it, so this is up to you guys to figure out. I know they had to have a neighborhood meeting, and they called a neighborhood meeting, and we went and attended that. Not once at the neighborhood meeting was multifamily dwelling suggested. He mentioned the changing in commercial, and he talked about commercial, but not one time at that neighborhood meeting was that mentioned. So whether that has to be or not, that's up to those who know the law. But the neighbors didn't know about it.
Okay.
So that's one thing. And then the others are just questions we had, and I know some of it without a plat map you don't know, but and some of what they've talked about on the corners. So you already have this? Do you have one? They have one in their record or whatever, too?
For what now?
The questions that I had.
Oh, on your sheet there? Yes.
So you guys have that, too. Okay. So and the one question I was looking at, I think, is, or one of the main ones, is this is a dead-end road. and there's a single egress, so I was a little bit concerned for, and I was talking about that 3625 Hubbard, the Steiner complex. It's being requested for R6, and I wondered if there's any possibility of lowering that to, you know, R4 or like one per acre or something.
Okay.
Because everybody's on a dead-end road. And then the other was traffic on the corner. Would there be a roundabout, or is there going to be a four-way signal light if they turn that commercial, or do you know
that? I actually did look that up because I saw your question in there. It is in the five-year work plan with ACHD, but those all kind of depend on impact fees as to what happens and,
okay,
and that type of thing. So it is in discussion.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. He's already addressed the sewer. Where will the school buses turn around? I know right now they go into the Durant's and turn around.
There is a request from the school district in there to a place for the school buses to pick people up and facilitate for them.
And that was the question I had, too. Do the new subdivisions that come in, do they get a assessment for a fee for the schools? I mean, for all the new kids are coming in?
Yeah, so it's actually against the law to charge impact fees for schools. Why the legislature left them off that list, I don't know. That's actually something I'm working on this year, trying to see if I can get the School Board Association to bring legislation to kind of help bring that around. But I don't know. I never have been given a good answer as to why that is, but it always seems to me like that's one of the most impacted.
Seems to be. That and also the fire department. I noticed that we're going to have another levy vote for the fire stations. And this was a question, Mr. Rett. I don't know. I just wondered, I know you've built an awful lot of subdivisions in this community. Have you put any money towards the fire station?
So fire districts actually do receive an impact fee. Fire district, we're actually going to be talking about police impact fees here in just a little bit. Hopefully get that one through. ACHD, they charge impact fees. Parks, they pay for parks. So school is kind of like the big one that doesn't get them, but that's because we can't assess those. But those are actually assessed through the city. We collect those fees and then distribute them to the proper agencies.
Okay, I think that covers most of them.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. So was there anyone else who wanted to testify and didn't get a chance to sign up? And then if there's anybody else after this, and we can pass this sheet around, you can sign up if you want. Okay, and then if you will state your name and address again at the podium. We have a double record that way.
Cool. I am Debbie McMullen. I live at 3800 West Hubbard Road, and I probably can't pronounce the name of the subdivision that's going to be across from me there. My concern, my neighbor addressed most of the things. I am very concerned about the dead-end street. You're talking 20 cars, and then you're talking 320 cars if you put in that many houses. Also, for us, specifically, I think us and Neil Durant right next to us, we receive our irrigation water that cuts across the property there, and that's the only way we get our irrigation water, and I didn't hear that mentioned at all about, you know, if there's anything, you know, what's going to be done about that. So that is a concern of mine, is we still want to get our irrigation water.
Okay.
It cost me $200-something here. I want to use it.
Yeah, so Boise Project is actually in charge of that, and they're very stringent on the fact that everybody has to still be able to get their water deliveries. Whatever that takes, they will have to facilitate that.
So Mr. X would be...
Yeah, and Boise Project would also watch that, along with the city public works staff. So.
Okay, and...
They'll make sure you get water.
Cool, and I am in with my neighbor, I would... rather see, if it's going to be a subdivision and they're across from us, I would rather see one per acre. We're on 5 acres. That would be wonderful to see only one per acre, but you know, if it goes, I can't see six. Six is a dead-end street. If it was an open-ended street, you'd have multiple ways to get in and out, but you don't. And we have a business and we have big equipment. Even our driveway with a subdivision right across from us to try to get out in the morning to go to work is going to be it's going to be for everybody. Going out on 10 Mile there and going to the schools, that's going to be, I don't know how anybody's going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and be to work by 7 is what's going to happen.
I won't be up at 4 to watch them.
So I get that, and I guess there's going to be sidewalks and stuff coming down.
Yeah, they'll have to. All of that is required to be put in when they subdivide. Okay. They have to put in curb, gutter, sidewalk,
That's on both sides of the road or just on that?
Just side? On the side that they build on.
Okay, so anything that comes up, we have ditches, open ditches in front. So anything to do with the road that comes over. The way I understood it, there was a neighborhood meeting before. My husband and son was at it, and you guys were willing to, I don't know if you said specifically you'd cover the ditch there or take care of the wide end of the road, but if it fouled us up, you was willing to take care of that.
Those are all in ACHD right-of-ways, and so they actually own the sidewalks and the roads and everything, so... ACHD really doesn't let you get away with much either, so
Okay, cool.
They'll keep a good eye on that. But
and I'm pretty sure that none of your new subdivision people's going to want to look over and see my mess. So can we put a berm up? Put a fence. An 8-foot tall fence would be good for me. I've lived there 30 years and I haven't had to look at nothing but a pasture. Sorry, it's a little hard when you're on a dead-end street and you've had that all to yourself for 30 years.
So. Oh, sure, yeah.
But, you know, the irrigation, the dead-end part, and being able to get in and out of our driveways is my biggest concern. And
sure.
I totally agree with my neighbor about I can't see it being on R6. That is just way too much for that area right there.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right.
Listening.
Thank you very much. All right. Was there anybody else? Okay. Rebuttal? My wife made me a hanging basket, and it has that flower on it. I don't know what it is, but it has one of those flowers just like that. Is that what it is?
I was going to say dahlia. Yeah, I said dahlia too.
Sorry, squirrel.
Again, good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Tim Eck. I'm the applicant, 6152 West Half Moon Lane, Eagle, Idaho. The majority of all their questions or comments, as you know, will be addressed and resolved through the platting process. Access, bus routes, turnarounds, parking, sidewalk improvements, building a lane and a half. Hubbard in a year will no longer be a dead end. There's an approved preliminary plat that will move forward at the end of Hubbard, that will connect Hubbard to Ardell. I don't recall if residential was ever discussed at the neighborhood meeting because, quite frankly, I don't think it was ever brought up. We were applying for a C1 zone, and we answered all questions that were addressed to us. If I had been asked if there was going to be a residential component, I would have responded yes, because that's always been the plan. It just, if it was never discussed, it was because it was never brought up. again, I want to reiterate the fact that Treasure Valley is right in the middle of a pretty significant housing crisis. It's on the news every morning, trying to get some affordability. You go bigger lots and lower density, you got to build bigger houses for more money. We've got a good variety of that already. This is a prime location to try and get some more affordable product. More affordable product means a smaller product on a smaller lot. You got to get that lot cost down. That's where the multifamily, higher density residential fits. There was a conversation of some use allowed at like 22 or 25 units to the acre in the commercial zone. You can only accomplish something like that if you built a five-story on a podium underground parking. That's the product that would, well, it won't fly in CUNA in my lifetime. However, some townhouse product that's going to have a narrower footprint and a more affordable price tag will work, is needed, is in demand. In fact, I had a conversation this week with the city clerk, thrilled about her small footprint home on the bench. I think she'd probably be thrilled to be able to buy a similar product out here so she doesn't have to drive from the bench to here. That's the product that she wants to live in. There is none here, and that's what we want to provide. We want to provide a good, rational transition from the R4 at Arroyo Indio. Eventually, the Ewing property will come online. Then we'll go to the Steiner property and into the Bodall property, where we want to have just a nice flow from R4 through R6 into something probably a little higher density. I don't know if we'll get 8 an acre, 9 an acre, but that's about all you can get unless you start going to multi-story with underground parking. And that high density would be next to the actual commercial use. Look at the Village in Meridian. Everybody likes that, but if we had the R6 built out right now and we were coming in for an application to build a Village at Meridian right next to it or a Fred Meyer right next to it, I'm sure the opposition would be astronomical. So we're trying to get in place and go both directions, get the higher density going with the commercial. So as you move away from it, we're transitioning to a lower density. We don't have a plan. We don't know exactly what we're doing. I'm not a commercial developer. I do want to find one that I can work with, that we can put together a nice product. We would obviously come in here for a plat approval where we would have some commercial component and then some higher density residential that would transition its way down. We'd consider even a little less of the residential component if you thought that would benefit you, but we've not had anybody come in and say they want 40 acres of commercial. I just know what I've got is an LOI recommended to me by the planning, by the economic development coordinator. It's a nice product. It's very interesting. We'd have to take that to a whole other level of meetings and approvals to see if the city would support their use, but it still has that residential component. So that dies without a residential component. Anyway, I think I've answered her questions, and council has any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Okay. Questions for Ms. Trapp? Not right now, it looks like.
Okay.
Thank you.
I guess, I'm sorry, Tim, I do have a question. As I read through the packet, the submission from Bailey Engineering indicates that neighborhood meeting was held on September 12, 2018. And it's just super brief. It just says, the surrounding neighbors who attended the meeting came with questions pertaining to the proposed development of the site. With the 39.51 acres that we are requesting in R6 zoning designation, we were able to explain that would mean a residential subdivision with no greater than 6 units per acre. We explained frontage improvements, access points, etc. It was also explained to the neighbors that with this application, we are only requesting an annexation and rezone of the parcels, and everything is very preliminary at this stage, as no site plans or preliminary plats have been produced. And then it goes on to say that the neighbors were concerned about impact to existing traffic conditions. And it was mentioned that a traffic impact study would have to be conducted. So from that description, I don't know whether multifamily was already planned at that point. Obviously, there was discussion about it in January, but do you know at what point you guys started talking about multifamily, or was it already being discussed but just not mentioned maybe at that meeting?
If you look on the application, it says multifamily slash apartments in parentheses. It's always been intended and always been in the application. We're applying for a zoning permit. We applied for, we made an application for a C1 zoning with emphasis in parentheses around the uses, multifamily and apartments, to grant us a zoning permit for that use. That was our application then, and it was almost 2 months after our neighborhood meeting, which everything's filled out and prepared, but we have to get a completion notice on our application. And it took almost 2 months to get that. Because the staff is swamped, I understand that. They're swamped partly because of me. So I didn't complain. I just worked with them very amicably. I would check in about every 2 weeks to see how things were going. And then all of a sudden, the school application comes in, and guess what? It goes to the top. They get priority. I'm fine with that. We weren't in a hurry. We were very cordial. But there's always been a plan for multifamily. I spent days trying to go through your enormous spreadsheet of the allowed uses under the various zones. I had to go through it, and I'd even presented this to Troy, and he was kind of impressed, and just take out everything that I had no interest in. You know, we're not going to put, you know, 40 acres of mini storage there, and then try to zero in on the one zone that would allow us the use that we were applying for. What do you have, three commercial zones, or is there four? Only one allowed the residential, C1. That's why we applied for C1. It's strictly because it's the only one that had a residential component. There might be some viability for additional mini storage. There might be a demand. I don't know if it's allowed in C1 or if it's so limited, like 5 acres, it's hardly practical. But we still went with the C1 zone because it's the only one that allowed the residential component.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So there is a lot of talk about us taking multifamily out of the C1 designation, and it kind of sounds like this is a perfect example. The one thing that I always looked at that was it almost seems like kind of a bait and switch. If people are going to move into a neighborhood and they see that something is zoned C1, they think it's commercial. They don't think about the fact it's going to be multifamily. And so that was something that we did to help avoid that confusion. So I think this is a perfect example where the neighborhood meeting didn't discuss that. It didn't come up. And in your defense, the same thing has happened to me. I got a phone call one day from a very unhappy man that thought that when we have these discussions up here that we don't debate anything. And so what I explained to him was that we've had these debates so many times that we kind of know what things are and other people don't, and we forget that. And so I told him what I would do is try and make sure that we have those debates, even though they're repetitive, but it just had that appearance. And that's kind of what C1 does. It kind of makes it look like there's a commercial property there, but that's not necessarily the case. It's commercial residential, meaning you can rent houses and things like that. So that's why we made that change, and this one here apparently is unfortunately going to have an overlap that is going to be problematic. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out.
Comp plan, I guess, on that one calls for medium density residential, so that's R4 through R8, as I believe. The other one is commercial, and so it looks like we're going to have a, I don't know where we're going to be with that. If we approve the commercial, then if we don't allow for multifamily in our C1 zoning, then it sounds like we're going to have an issue with that. So I'm not sure exactly where to go with this one.
I personally would like the opportunity to mull it over further and possibly submit some additional questions to council, and I don't want to call it opposing council, but opposing council for additional comment. That would be my personal preference, but if other people have different thoughts, you know, by all means.
Greg?
I kind of side with Brianna there. There's some questions about, you know, what exactly will be put in. I mean, Mr. X always been, you know, if he says he's going to build this, it seems like that's what he does. He doesn't try to pull the wool over our eyes. If he does, he's been pretty good at it. But I would like to see, I mean, this map that was presented, and I get the basis of why he presented it, but I'd like to see, you know, I guess for lack of the preliminary plat, you know, what are you wanting to build? Because it's just so controversial with the C1 change and that, and I don't think anyone wants to get into a lawsuit over 40 acres.
I just want to make clear, though, there's no requirement for him to submit a preliminary plat in order for us to do a rezone and an annexation.
Yes.
Nor do I think we would have the, and I, of course, invite council to speak up if I'm speaking out of turn, but I also don't believe we would have the legal authority to, make him provide us a much more detailed map and, like, you're going to have to stick to it.
We couldn't require it, but he's always been good about, here's what I'm going to do exactly.
Yeah, although I'm getting from his testimony that he's not.
Sure.
It's a little bit, yeah, it's a little more in flux as we're dealing with potential interested parties and stuff. But, sorry, I didn't mean to, if there's something specific that you're interested in trying to get.
No, that was as far as I was going.
Tim would like to.
How about to my left?
I think Tim was going to speak up about something he might be willing to provide us as well.
Here, Councilmember Boone Vanderhaar, we aren't in a position to give you a plat at this time, but I think a reasonable accommodation could be a development agreement, which I know LUPA allows jurisdictions to require. I don't know if CUNA's city code allows it on a rezone, but it's definitely within the scope of LUPA. So if we wanted a little more certainty, we could definitely outline the contours of what the 40 acres would be used for in a development agreement.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I almost said Mr. Bill. Sorry. Okay.
So if you want to continue this and they're willing to do this discussion, that would be the proper motion. If you want to clarify with Mr. Bauer and Mr. Eck what they're willing to explore, and then that would have to go to your staff, plan and zoning to craft that out.
Okay. Thank you. Warren, what are you thinking?
I don't know. I certainly can understand what the three of you have already said, and I'm pretty much in the same tune with that and wanting to kind of see what the intent is to a degree. It's just, I hear it frequently about these C1 zones where the residents come in then and say, I thought it was going to be X, and then all of a sudden it's multifamily. And as the mayor stated, this is why we approved that change, to kind of get rid of that move there. And I think just to keep things in perspective, seeing ultimately then what you guys have in mind, would definitely help render a more warranted decision on this. So it's tough because I can see really the concern from both ends on that.
Okay. Richard, what are you thinking?
Well, you know, I've been on vacation for 6 months.
How is your knee?
It's coming along good. Bill, I've got some questions on your legal memorandum. On page one, the facts assume it would be page one, which is 95 of 103. On the right-hand corner.
Or page 242 overall.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about, I'm looking at my memo here.
Yeah,
oh,
no, your memo.
Oh,
yeah.
It's your memorandum, and it says applicant filed their application for rezone on November 25th, 2018. Mm-hmm. And then if you continue on to the next page, your opinion is an applicant's rights are determined by the ordinance in existence at the time of filing an application.
Yes, and what I'm saying is basically their rights are determined by the ordinances at the time, but at this point, there was no ordinance zoning his property as C1, and there is no application for a permit or an application for a specific use of the property within the zone at the time they filed. All they filed for was a request for a zoning designation. And so until that zoning ordinance is approved by the council, it doesn't apply to that land. Now, had they applied for a preliminary plat, had they applied for some other specific use and development at the same time, then that would have frozen, if they were applicable provisions of that zoning ordinance at the time. And the case law that I saw all involved specific requests for development, or they involved the specific comprehensive plan that was in place at the time the application was filed that had to be reviewed and had to be applied to the application. In this instance, there's no specific request for any specific development other than a zoning designation. If there were an application for some specific permit, for some specific development of building permits or whatever, then I agree. But I don't see that. And then, you know, what are you going to do? Pass an ordinance that designates this as C1? We still haven't got any application in front of you to deal with a specific development or land use within the C1. And you've got an existing ordinance that says these are permitted uses and these are not permitted uses. And are you going to allow permitted uses in an ordinance that prohibits the use? Well, then we have to find some other vehicle in our ordinances that allow that, either through a PUD or some other process. And I'm not prepared to render opinions about whether or not that would work in this situation, or whether or not a development agreement, which can can deal with a conditional rezone might have application in this situation. I didn't have that before me, and I didn't render any opinion in that regard. But I just don't see that in this instance. I just don't agree that, all of a sudden I file an application for a zoning designation. That gives me the right to file later for an application for any kind of subsequent development of that property that existed in the zone at the time I made the application for the original zoning designation. It's not specific to a specific right. And under the existing, and the argument about, well, you can change an ordinance every 4 years, you know, it doesn't go in perpetuity. Yeah, there's a provision if the applicant makes a request for a zoning designation, if the zoning is granted specific to a request, then you can't change it without their permission for 4 years. I agree that's the law, that's the statute. But it isn't until the ordinance is approved and passed and becomes law that that even applies. You don't have that ordinance in place today. It's an agricultural zone. It's an agricultural use. They have every right to use it in that regard, but that's not their intention.
Okay, my question, are they seeking a C1 with multi tonight or just commercial C1?
It's my understanding, and my memo is based on the applications filed, the applications fee paid, the process that has gone through the planning and zoning, and certainly Mr. Bauer can correct me if I'm wrong, or the planning, Sam can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my, because I asked that specific question of our planning and zoning people, is this the only applications that are filed and are under process? And that's my understanding, that was the basis of my opinion. And in my mind, you have to be clear, and I do this with other districts, we have to be really clear when we have an application on file and is in process, because otherwise you could deal with, I want to do this, I want to do that, I already made that request, there's a letter there. Well, my question is, did you file an application? Did you pay the application fee? Is it accepted? And now we're going to go through the staff process to administer it. And so in this instance, it's my understanding, it's only for the annexation and the zoning designation.
Not for the use of the property.
That's what
okay. That's the way it's being presented today. Okay.
Yeah, and had they say we're going to do a specific use, we'd have a preliminary plat, or we'd have some other application to go along with it, and if we did, or if it tied into the multifamily use, on November 25th, and I probably have a different opinion.
Although this is the crux of the issue, right? Because the applicant's read of the law is that because C1 included multifamily at the time they submitted their application, they believe they have the right to go ahead and do multifamily there. And if we disagree, it's something that they would like to have a court rule on.
But that's not what's being presented or asked of us today. We're asked for an R6 and a C1 specifically, nothing else.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
And I guess my feel on this is, if my memory serves me correct, and any one of you can feel free to kind of correct me, we just approved a pre-plat or an actual development on something that was rezoned and based over about 10 years ago, or if I recall, one of Mr. X off of 10 Mile, there was something back in 2000, I don't know, I'm going to say between 5 and 10 years ago, where they had just pushed it aside for so long and then came back and decided it was time to finally develop it. I want to say it was that development on 10 Mile by Lake Hazel, but I could be off on that. The point I'm trying to make is you get to a point where the ordinance is in place. So moving forward, that is, according to city ordinance, city law, how things are to be done, are we to say that everyone that comes in and says, well, my intent was this before you guys changed the law, like how far back are we willing to say, you're right, your intent was, I do see a letter you had initially written to the staffing about what you wanted to do. Well, if we're changing city ordinance, it's for a reason. It's what the law is on the book at that point. At what point can we look at those and say, well, I'm sorry, this is current city ordinance. This is what it is. Sure, that was your intent 6 months ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, whatever it may be, but that's not what city ordinance says. Now, to touch on the point of, because I was kind of thinking the same thing, we're approving a rezone on a C1. Does this mean we're approving the use for the land? I can't see that anywhere. We're just approving a rezone, but it sounds like the intent is to continue the multifamily residential within this zone. However, as Bill said, there's nothing, no application, anything in there that says, yes, we're going to build multifamily use. We're just
It is in the application. I mean, it doesn't, okay. It doesn't have to be, but it is.
Well, right, but I'm saying it's not on the books for that time to say this is a multifamily resident development. We don't have anything in front of us on a pre-plat or anything that says that. So are we approving a zone? Are we approving a pre-plat? Like, we are not approving tonight apartments to be built on that land. We're approving a rezone to C1. Is that my understanding?
If I'm understanding the applicant's issue, it's that we started the process of applying for a rezone to C1 with an intent to build what you guys allow under C1 at the time we submitted that application. And so whether it's something that's dealt with on the rezone or whether it's something that's dealt with when a preliminary plat comes forward, it is my understanding that we will deal with the issue one place or another in terms of which zoning controls, if that makes sense.
I assume.
So I guess that's why you're wanting to mull this over a little more so we can actually put that together and what that means.
Yeah, and I mean, it's possibly a moot point to the extent that, you know, the applicant indicated he's willing potentially to enter into a development agreement depending on what we're wanting to see there and that sort of thing. So it might be moot. I mean, we might never have to get to the question of whose interpretation is correct.
Right. Sorry, Richard, didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's fine. I interrupted you. I'm sorry, Mayor. I just assumed the issue in front of us tonight is just C1 and C6. What he does with it is to be discussed at a later date, and I have a feeling it'll be discussed by legal departments as to whether or not Ordinance 2019-04 applies to Mr. Reck or not. So I think before us tonight is just whether or not we allow the Zone A to go to a commercial C1 and whether we go R6. So,
Mr. Mayor, members of the council,
yes.
I would agree that that's what's before you. And you don't have, you know, and I do agree that at some point if they make a specific application for a permit or application for some kind of land use, then it's going to be back at planning and zoning about whether or not it complies with the zoning ordinance or not, and or there's a development agreement or something, and then it'll come up later. I think and the reason for this request and the reason for our opinion, at least the developer understands, at least from my position, as to what their position, and I do think that the ordinance that's in place at the time you enacted in this is going to be the one that will apply.
And so that kind of brings me back to, I think, what Brianna's getting at is that, so if we go with the C1, then is multifamily permitted use under C1, or would they have to completely start over and rezone that property?
And I would defer to the planning and zoning staff because they would be the ones that would receive the application, and they would be the ones that would do the initial read on that. I didn't get into that part of it other than the single issue about whether or not the old ordinance C1 designation applied or the new one does. In my opinion, the new one does.
Okay.
And that's what makes it tough. Am I approving an old C1 or am I approving a new C1 tonight? That's where...
I think you're approving a new C1 because you can't, right. You have to amend the provisions of the ordinance that are in your code in order to change it.
So in my opinion and in my view, I think that we ought to put a pause so that we can see what we can come up with to make this agreeable because I don't think they want us zoning something, and then we're going to say, well, you can't do what you wanted to with that zoning. And I think that's where the stalemate is here. So,
and that's why I brought up the point that they might want to reconsider the zoning designation. They may not, and those are going to be matters which their council and Mr. Eck as the developer will make their own decision about that. But if they're willing to enter into some discussions about this with staff, in this instance, I don't see how that could hurt anything, to give people a little time to see if they could figure out an answer to this.
Okay.
But that's going to be up to you.
Yeah, I think my preference, again, would be to wait, especially if we are, and I don't know if we are, going with Mr. Gigri's interpretation of the law, which is that the new zoning designation applies. Because if that's the line that we hold, then their only recourse would be coming back before us for yet another rezone. And I would rather have all these options explored beforehand so we can hopefully come to some sort of outcome that everybody is more or less happy with or willing to accept, as all good settlements go. So that would be my preference, would be to... if we think it'll be enough time, kick it to the next meeting. If we think that'll be enough time for folks to discuss.
Mr. Mayor, I'm just standing here until you dismiss.
Oh, sorry. You can go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. There are two applications before you tonight. The first is the annexation rezone of the Steiner property to the west. It seems like there are no issues with that at this time, so we would appreciate moving forward with that application, even if you do decide to table the Steiner rezone application. I think, I'm sorry, the Vodal application. I think your next council meeting would be plenty of time for us to work with Mr. Gigre and staff to work this out. We've already fleshed out the issues. We've read all the cases. And I think we know what the zoning code allows. So I don't think we need a lot of time.
Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Rick, if I could throw a rock through your window, I'd like to see an R4 down there instead of an R6.
You want to stick R4 right next to commercial?
Well, you don't know if you've got the commercial yet, do you?
Well, the question here, I mean,
we're addressing the R6 right now, no longer the C1.
We're in... We have a land use designation of commercial. There seems to be no opposition to the commercial. The only question seems to be whether or not our application, which you have in front of you, that clearly states multifamily apartments in the application, which nobody seems to recognize the fact that our application for this zoning permit requested multifamily and residential with emphasis. It was allowed by right when the C1 was, when we applied for that C1 zone. We went beyond that point and made emphasis of that specific use in that application. You've got it in front of you. It says right in there in brackets, multifamily apartments. I don't know how anybody thinks we did not make a specific request for multifamily or apartments when we made that application. It's right there. Assuming we get a commercial approval in our land use designated for commercial of either type, you really need to try and figure out what kind of residential density you want next to commercial. You typically start at a lower density and go to a higher density as you get to the commercial. Look at all the other commercial everywhere around the valley. It's commercial, it goes into apartments, goes to townhomes, and then the density goes down. You're proposing a jump from commercial to R4. Medium, that might as well be low density residential. I mean, R4 to R8, we didn't ask for R8, we asked for R6 right in the middle. We are in a housing crisis. It's on the news every day. We need to try to get some more affordable product in the valley. This is our attempt to try and get it, is the multifamily, to try and get a townhome type product.
To save time, Tim, you're saying R4 is unacceptable.
I don't think it's a good, it's a good land use on that property.
Okay.
I mean, R4 is one lot less than R4 and we're low density residential. In a medium, in an area that has transitioned from through medium density. I'm not sure if the property down by Indian Creek was lower density, but medium density to a higher density up to the commercial.
Okay.
Go ahead.
If I could add one thing to that, Councilman Cardoza, the new comp plan that you guys are about to approve would designate this, the Steiner property, as mixed use, so an even higher intensity of use than we're proposing now.
Okay.
So we were talking about R6, and it immediately went back to commercial. So I don't believe that we should approve any of this tonight. I think it should all be put on the table to be discussed between the applicant and the staff. Because we were talking R6, and then the applicant came up and immediately went to commercial and multifamily, talking about the other part. So I think this is going to go down bad if we do one and not the other and don't take care of the whole issue all at once. I agree.
Defer.
So I guess I would suggest then that we move to table this issue until the next meeting and give staff and the applicant time to work through what the C1 designation will mean and what the what this whole process will mean, something that's applicable that they can bring before council. Yes, Mr. Gigret.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, if you head in that direction, my recommendation would be just continue the hearing to the next council meeting at time certain, and you don't even need to put any parameters on it. Just continue the hearing, and then we can make a presentation, and the applicant can at that time. And I think you've given them some direction from the bench here anyway as to what you're most interested in. And I think that'd be the easiest thing to do at this point if you want to continue.
So I guess just for clarity, because if I was the applicant, I wouldn't be totally sure what I'm supposed to be doing in the meantime. Folks were interested in potentially a development agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And are we just letting staff kind of control that process or enter into those discussions with, I mean, are we expressing any sort of goals to the extent it's appropriate for us to do so, or giving any direction, or just whatever staff thinks is they want to do? Go ahead.
Bill Gigray, city attorney, did it right that damn time. In response, I think if each of you could state what information you would like to receive as a continued hearing, that would give the applicant an opportunity to listen to what your concerns and what information you like to receive, as well as the planning and zoning staff, and that everybody could go from from those directions. So you, I don't think you need to take action as the council to direct. I think you individually, as council members, individual decision makers on this, can just advise to what information you'd like to have followed up at the continued hearing.
So if folks are ready to do that now, I think now would be a good time. Otherwise, I would personally suggest maybe by close of business Thursday, those questions or requests be submitted to Chris or Mr. Gigray, whomever we think would be appropriate for, or Wendy, or whatever party would be appropriate for dissemination. And
Mr. Mayor, members of council, since this is a matter staffed by the Planning and Zoning Director, my recommendation would be those would go directly to the Planning and Zoning Director or whoever she would designate they should go to, and then we would be tasked to immediately notify, and Mr. Eck can identify whether he wants to receive those or whether Mr. Bauer should receive them so that they get them timely.
Okay.
And then they would be included in the record of these proceedings, so there's no off-the-record discussion.
So if anybody has things that you just want to say tonight, you would relieve yourself of this obligation.
In all honesty, just looking over everything, reading the opinions, reading over the memos, things like that, I'm not going to have any further questions at this time. I do agree with the recommendation of maybe looking at resubmitting for a rezone to a different zoning ordinance at this point. I don't have anything further to add, so I won't be submitting any questions to that.
Okay.
I'd just like to, I'll say it now, sort of development agreement, or, I mean, Mr. X has always been good to work with staff from my knowledge anyway, and he's pretty much been a man of his word saying that this is what I'm going to go build, that's what he's going to do. So I'd just like to see something along those lines, and I'd like to thank both councils and Mr. Eck, you know, continuing to try to work together and not have a big legal battle. A, it saves him money. Sorry, it's out of your pocket, dude, but, and it obviously helps the city as well. So I'd like to thank all of them for that, and that's all I have.
I'm going to think on how to best articulate my legal questions, and I will follow up with those.
Okay, I will do the same.
I guess I would like to lock you two attorneys in a room with a big stick and find out who in the hell is going to make a decision on Ordinance 2019-04, because I don't think this council can make a decision until that's been discussed and legally given as guidance as to the legality of that ordinance, as to its presentation, as to the time.
Well, I think the issue is, depending on what we decide about it, a court would be the ultimate arbiter of that, who would get to say which interpretation is correct.
Because I was going to say, it seems to me that they kind of gave their take on Ordinance 2019-04. In his memo, and Mr. Yulegrig's memo, he talks about that. And
it's a memorandum, but the legality, I guess, is what we'll be voting on. If that could be discussed and worked out before the next council meeting, it would sure make our decision much easier, knowing that I'm sure Tim Eck doesn't want to go to court. We don't want to go to court, so if something can be worked out on that, like I say, if the two of you can get in a locked room with a big stick and beat it out, that would be fine.
Tim, do you have a suggestion you would like to?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Tim Eck, I'm the applicant. I like Brianne's suggestion. I would like to request that if there are specific points that they would like staff and applicant to work on together, that they would have it submitted by Thursday, as she suggested. I would like to be able to schedule a meeting with staff. I'd like a definition of staff. Is that the Planning and Zoning Director? Is that the Senior Planner? Who is staff? I'm glad to meet with the Director, our Senior Planner. at their earliest convenience, but I am out of the country as of Tuesday, so I would like to be able to have a meeting with them either Friday or Monday, pending their schedule, and then I am scheduled back in, well, I was scheduled back in on the 21st, which would be the next council meeting, so I would come back in the day before to be able to make the next council meeting.
Okay. Wendy, did you want to say something? I know how you like that.
My schedule currently is pretty tight this week, working on the comprehensive plan. We have to get this stuff ready for council, as well as doing interviews. Sam will have to need to be involved as far as staff goes, and if Mr. Bowers is going to be present, then we have to make sure Mr. Gugray's schedule can work out with the same timing of it.
So we'd have, if you're not going to be available, then would you have Sam and...
Sam has to be there, but I'll need a more experienced planner there as well if I can't make it.
Tori or Jace.
Right. My plan is to be there.
So you or a substitute for you. Okay? Okay? Yes.
As things stand now with regards to Councilman Cardoza's comments, from my perspective, now there may be some cases that I haven't seen or whatever, but based on the law that I see in my mind, the issue of the application of the zoning ordinance and the loud uses is not ripe at this time because we don't have an application for a specific development that would be denied based on that it isn't allowed under the C1 zone, and that's where I think the issue is would come up. But now it's a worthy discussion because the applicant, you know, they might say, well, we're entitled to go under the old ordinance. At least this is our position at this point. When you pass the ordinance and they're zoned, that's the one that applies. But since we don't have a specific, we're not restricting anything because their use of the property, my knowledge at this point, is whatever it is under agriculture until they need a building permit or you need some kind of specific development. I don't know that the issue presents itself, but it certainly does if they intend to use the property and develop it in a specific way and they'll come back for another application. And that's where this issue, in my mind, specifically will come up. I'm not aware. Now, if their application, they made an application for multifamily use and they paid an application fee, filled out an application and paid a fee and it's in process, then my opinion would be that at the time they made that application, that the law that we had in place at the time would apply. That's where I'm coming from, and I don't know that we need to debate this anymore at this point, but I just in response to Councilman Cardoza's comment.
Okay.
Mayor?
Yeah.
The application is not in our packet, is it?
Yes.
What page is it on?
Give me just a second. There's a city form that's on pages 17 and 18 of 103, and then the submission from Bailey Engineering dated November 25th, 2018 starts on page 19 of 103. It's page 166 overall.
Thank you.
Did you have another question, Rich?
I don't see multi-use anywhere on this application.
It's not on the first two pages. It's not on, like, the city form, but if you go on to page two of that letter from Bailey Engineering, the second paragraph says the 40 acres, and then it lists the plot number. On the southwest corner of West Hubbard Road and North 10 Mile Road is proposed to be C1, and then in parentheses, multifamily slash apartments, comma, commercial designation as is called out in the city's comprehensive plan.
I guess, does the accompanying letter have legal status to the application, I guess, is my question.
And that you can answer if you'd like, Bill. My suggestion is just going to be that that might be one of the questions appropriate for follow-up rather than belaboring the point here, because I don't know that whatever the answer is going to make it clear enough for me to render a decision tonight.
Let me reword it. Does it have any legal status with the application? An accompanying letter.
Mr. Mayor, member of the council, I'd have to review our ordinances and the application process that we have as to what you make an application for. I can make an application for a number of things, and I can also include a lot of comment in support of my application. Whether that's an application for a specific permit or a specific development authorization, I'd have to double-check the record and on our ordinances to answer that question.
Okay. To me, it's important whether or not the multi-use is included in that application, if it's on a separate letterhead, I guess, is my question.
Yeah,
in your
question,
research.
Yeah, and from my perspective, the question, is there an application for a permit or a specific development been filed at that time? And I think that's your question.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Bill. So that'll be one of the questions then we can pass on so that can get taken care of then.
One more.
Sure.
I apologize, Mr. Mayor, but
we have gotten a lot of
comments without a rebuttal, and I feel like we're kind of shifting away from the key issue here. So I want to reiterate for Councilmember Cardoza and Christensen, there is no application for multifamily use. There was no application we could have filed to preserve that right. This was absolutely the best we could have done. Mr. Gigre hasn't identified anything else we could have done to preserve a use of multifamily. He's mentioned preliminary plat, PUD. Those things aren't about uses. They're about, one's about a subdivision and one's about setback standards. Within the framework of your city code, as it existed at the time we applied, there was nothing else we could have filed to further clarify the use we were intending. And I just want to make that clear.
Oh, okay, before you stand down, the only reason I'm bringing it up is Mr. Rex said that the application included multi-use.
Mr. Steer, Council Member Cardoza, I think that Bailey Engineering's letter specifically referencing multifamily slash apartments is a fact that weighs in our favor, and I don't think it is dispositive. Whether we said that or not, we're entitled to the law as it applied at the time we made application.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So any questions that need to come up, we'll get back in.
Okay.
You want to go ahead and do the...
So I'll just reiterate for the record the intent that any questions or direction that council wishes to give with regard to this application and its possible resolution should be provided to appropriate staff, which would likely be Wendy or council, by close of business on Thursday so they can be communicated as appropriate to the applicant. And that there is potentially, depending on the direction council gives, an intent for the applicant to have time to have a meeting with staff, which would be defined as Wendy or a senior planner designee, hopefully on Friday or Monday. And with all of that clarification for the record, then I move that we continue the public hearing to the next council meeting on May 21st.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to go ahead, Bill.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, I don't mean to interrupt, but while we've got a second and you've got a motion before you, it is my recommendation to provide absolute clarity that you would direct your questions to the planning and zoning director, to Wendy, to route through staff, and to Mr. Bauer and Mr. Eck, however they direct, so there is no ambiguity about where this goes. I view my job as a city attorney is to provide legal advice to you as well as to members of the staff, and I just don't think in this instance it's appropriate it would go to me. I think it should go through the regular process, and I think that would speed the communication, I think, if that's okay with you.
Sure. So for additional clarity, then even legal questions would go to Wendy, and then Wendy would farm those out to the parties as appropriate. Not as appropriate. She would farm those out to the parties so that they could tender responses as well. Yeah. Okay. So motion stands.
Second stands.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. Again, thanks.
Item 6B, public hearing and consideration to adopt the City of CUNA Police Department Impact Fee Study and Capital Improvements Plan, Impact Fee Ordinance, and Impact Fees. Bill Gigray, City Attorney, and Chief McDaniel.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, John McDaniel, Police Chief. I come before you tonight to ask for approval of our resolution and the ordinance to adopt impact fees for the CUNA City Police Department. It's been a few months ago, but Ann Westcott did come in and she provided quite a few details on her study. A quick summary, on the commercial side, it was going to be about, well, exactly 4 cents per square feet of commercial, and then it would be $90 even for each residential. Comparing that to other cities in the valley, is that would be the lowest on the residential side and near the lowest on the commercial side. These fees would, in the capital improvement plan that Ann put together, she estimated there'd be about a $1.6 million building expense in the future, and these fees could cover close to 480,000 of those, so the growth would pay for a good portion of the building that eventually we'll need. Right now, our building that we're renting from the school district is sufficient, but as CUNA grows, we want to have some of those funds available to when we potentially either go and ask for a levy or other funds from the public, that the growth pays for their part. With that, I stand for any questions.
I don't have a question. I have a correction, though. I don't know if you want me to save it. Should I save it until after the public hearing, or should I make the correction now?
I think go ahead and make it now.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, members of council, go ahead.
It's just in the resolution under number 1.10. We originally had this on the agenda for the April 2nd meeting, and it looks like that date didn't get changed. It says that the city council published notice and held a public hearing on such and such date, so it just needs to be changed to May 7th from April 2nd. Clearly very substantive. Yeah.
Okay. Did you want to talk some more? Questions for Chief?
No.
No, presentation we got before, I think, covered everything. And, thanks for bringing it to us.
I guess I do have one. So it was $90 per resident
Is that per residential unit also, like a fourplex, there'd be 90 times four? I don't know if anyone... Okay, all right. That would be my thoughts, but I just want to make sure it was. Okay, good. Thank you, Chief.
Just a quick question. Is a fourplex considered commercial then or residential? Residential. Okay. Thank you, Chief. Sharp answer.
Okay, so we have to open the public hearing, which is in high attendance this evening. You can tell people are clamoring for those impact fees.
So I don't have any sign-up sheets here. Is there anybody in the audience who wants to testify?
Alex?
I'm going to guess Paul. It's going to be as blank as these were. Alex, why don't you ever want to testify? You could get your name in the paper. Yes, Bill.
Mayor, members of City Council, the staff report I want to present, and I appreciate your catching that, because that is establishing that we went through the correct procedures under the Idaho Development Impact Fee Law. You have three basic hearings that you're conducting this evening on this, and I can tell you why. One is that the law requires that you have a public hearing before you adopt the capital improvement plan, which is really kind of the guts of what the impact fee is, because it identifies all the analysis that went in to determine what new growth, what it is imposing on the providing of services, and what is the analysis of how that should be proportioned so that existing, we don't improve the level of service, but we don't reduce the level of service. And then the fee has to be calculated to what the additional costs are for capital improvements, and that's facilities that will last for a period of 10 years or more. So this doesn't offset operational costs. It doesn't offset staffing costs or all the other things. It's limited to that point, and that's all development impact fees are for. So that's in the capital improvement plan identifies the $90 per residential unit is the impact and cost of the fee and the 4 cents per square foot for commercial. So the other hearing is for the ordinance. You have to have a public hearing before you approve the ordinance. And in the ordinance that we prepared for your consideration this evening follows a format that we've done before and is similar to the process in the ordinance that you originally enacted for parks and recreation, which is in Title 12. This would be Chapter 3. Remember, the intergovernmental agreement and the impact fees for the fire district are Chapter 2. So we're housing it, so these are all in one place in your code. This proposed ordinance includes all the necessary provisions that you need to have in a development impact fee ordinance in order to enact it. So that not, and we include, and I like to include a lot of findings, so it's clear that you have authority to do this, that this ordinance complies with the development impact fee law, and then it has all the necessary administrative provisions in it to implement the development impact fee that you would impose, and that includes an administrator, it includes a process of assessing the fee in accordance with the capital improvement plan, it includes the administrative review of requests for special assessments, if there's extraordinary impact, if there's a request for a credit, special assessment, all of these things are be handled by the administrator, and if there is an appeal of the administrator's determination, it goes back to you for final approval on appeal, and the ordinance establishes the development impact fee advisory committee, which you formed by resolution, but which has to continue in perpetuity as long as you have this and has to meet at least once a year to review and update or make recommendations for your update of the capital improvement plan, because it can't remain static in the future because conditions change, and then this is only a 10-year forecast. And the older I get, the more I realize how short a time span 10 years is. I always thought wandering the desert for 40 years was time and eternity. Now I go, Well, they really weren't out there that long.
I agree.
So anyway, that's kind of a quick overview of the ordinance. The third public hearing that you're having is the Idaho law. Idaho Code Section 631311 says that you have certain authority to approve fees. And you're really given that specific authority in the development impact fee law of the state. But we have this other statute, 631311, that says that any time you're going to establish a new fee or increase an existing fee for more than 5%, you have to go through a hearing. So you're not going to see a resolution here adopting the new fee because that's in the ordinance and that's in the capital improvement plan. But we still have to go through the public hearing. We work with the chief and we work with Chris, and she's done all the publication in accordance with the law. And so we submit that this is for your consideration, and I'll stand for any questions.
And may I have all three public hearings in one?
In my view, you can do that, but you just open all three.
Make sure they're all
and you close okay. All three on the record.
Very good.
Mayor?
Yes.
Bill, if I read the resolution properly or the ordinance, right now a citizen or a household is paying $120. Did I read that correctly?
What now?
Right now the average household is paying about $120 a year.
You're talking about the capital improvement plan, I believe.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about what I think was the analysis of how much of an investment an existing home has probably
in
the existing facilities, and so that's used as a barometer of, well, how much, if we have new growth, how much new facilities do we need? This is existing investment, and so we need this much more in order to maintain a level of service, and this is how much is attributable to new growth. That's where that piece comes in.
So that's why the difference of $30 roughly is there's already facility in existence, so we can only charge for the addition to that facility. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Anything further? All right.
Thank you.
All right. This is a public hearing.
Three public hearings.
For the police impact fees, we will be discussing the City of CUNA Police Department impact fee study and capital improvements plan, resolution number R33-2019 and ordinance number 2019-11. So this public hearing is now open. Is there anyone who wishes to testify in this matter who did not get a chance to sign up? Seeing none, thank you. Did you want to do a rebuttal?
No, he's fine.
Mr. Mayor, given the intense testimony that you've received, we would waive rebuttal.
All right.
So the question is before council.
I move we close the public hearing and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing and proceed to deliberation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve resolution. We've discussed this before, and I am in favor of assessing impact fees to ensure we maintain our excellent level of police service. And so with that in mind, I move we approve resolution number R33-2019.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution number R33-2019. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2019-11.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance number 2019-11.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve Ordinance 2019-11.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Ordinance Number 2019-11. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Wanderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve summary publication of Ordinance 2019-11.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve summary publication of Ordinance 2019-11. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. See, Chief, I told you it wouldn't be hard. Next, we have a Kids to Parks Day proclamation. Whereas May 18, 2019 is the ninth Kids to Parks Day organized and launched by the National Park Trust, held biannually on the third Saturday of May. And whereas Kids to Parks Day empowers kids and encourages families to get outdoors and visit America's park, public lands, and waters. And whereas we should encourage children to lead a more active lifestyle to combat issues of childhood obesity, diabetes, hypertension, and hypercholesterolemia. And whereas Kids to Parks Day will broaden children's appreciation for nature and outdoors, and now, therefore, I, Joel Steer, Mayor of City of CUNA, do hereby proclaim May 18, 2019 as Kids to Parks Day in CUNA, Idaho, Ada County. Next, we have a request for recommendations for appointment to the Ada County Solid Waste Advisory Committee. So normally these are just something that I appoint people to. However, last year the previous Board of County Commissioners enacted a new ordinance to this that requires the City Council to make those appointments. Currently we have Ramona Martin that sits on that board. They don't meet all that often, but so it's not a policy-making group. It's just someone who sits there and reports back. So if there's things that come up that we need to know about, they can report to us and let us know what's going on. Chad Gordon represents the service provider for us, as we're the only ones that use J&M Sanitation. So he's involved. It cannot be an elected official that sits in that position. So I guess unless someone else has someone that they would think they would like to do that, I think we'll, my recommendation would be to just keep Ramona Martin in there. I think she's running for council at some point, but until she is an elected official, it won't matter. So that would be my recommendation for now, but.
Concur.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say Chad or Tim, but if they sit, if they already have a representative, then it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So we have recommendations for appointment for Ramona Martin to hold her seat on that Ada County Solid Waste Advisory Committee. Is there any further nominations or requests? If none, all those in favor of Ramona Martin, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. Quarterly financial report update. Jared Empey, City Treasurer.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council. I just wanted to present our financial results as of the end of March. So first, I just want to direct you to our cash. Our cash is strong, and our general fund and also our LGIP. One thing you'll notice is that we're trying to invest any idle cash that we have through our LGIP fund, essentially the State of Idaho investment vehicle. With that, we can earn about 2.5%, which if you turn to the budget results through March, you'll notice that basically we're knocking it out of the park on our interest. Basically, we earn about $40,000 a month by investing that idle cash. So that's a very important element that we've adopted in Treasury. Then along with the rest of our financial results, revenue is strong, in fact, very strong. And as a side note, one item that you may want to be aware of is due to the strong nature of our building in the city, so far, it's only, 7th of May, we've already collected more this quarter in Key Bank LID receipts than we have in any previous quarter, so we still have half the quarter left. So given that, that's just a sign of strong growth and strong strong revenue through our PNC department. Stand for any questions you may have.
Okay, questions for Jared? I will say again, Jared is doing a bang-up job. He's making recommendations and doing things that put us in a stronger position, so I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm very happy with his performance.
Thanks, Jared.
Okay. Consideration to approve resolution R34-2019, Lisa Holland.
Mayor, members of the council, Lisa Holland, Economic Development Director, for the record. The resolution before you is to help amend a situation that happened back in 1999/2001 that probably should have been corrected earlier on, but in short, there was a piece of property on the corner of Deer Flat and Linder that had an MOU tied to it, and when the landowner decided that they wanted to sell the 7.55-acre piece that they currently reside on that's zone C1, they discovered that there's an MOU tied to the property. And the MOU basically designated that they were going to donate a piece of their original land, which was 25 acres, to the city of CUNA for a public open space. There was a frustration of purpose in how that moved forward, and they ended up donating the land instead to the school district. So that's where Reed Elementary School currently sits on the acreage that they mentioned in the original MOU. So with Mr. Gigray's advising, we got a letter from the landowner and the original developer that was part of the MOU requesting to exit the MOU. Staff reviewed it. It's been zoned C1 with the intention that the 7.55-acre parcel would be redeveloped as commercial at some point in the future, and the other piece was already zoned R6, where the school district sits. So if there's any questions, I'm happy to help answer them, but in order for them to move forward with selling the remaining 7.55-acre parcel as commercial, they would need to remove the MOU from the parcel itself in the title report, and so that's what this agreement of termination does. Any questions?
Will the zoning that is attached to it now still hold?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. They went through a rezoning process.
Even though it's been more than 4 years?
After 4 years, we can move to change it. That was my takeaway.
Any other comments on that? But they rezoned the parcel when it was developed for Reed property for the elementary school, and then the rest of it was rezoned to commercial.
Yeah. Okay.
Makes sense. I move we approve resolution number R34-2019.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution R34-2019. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Consideration to approve resolution number R35-2019. Lisa's up again.
Lisa Holland again for the record, Economic Development Director for the City of CUNA. This resolution just lets us enter into a
professional service agreement with JUB to come and hold a public workshop on financing tools and urban renewal for the city of CUNA to consider. We've had conversations about this. I gave kind of a rough overview and made the request that I'd like to have a third party come in. So this just enables us to bring them in to help facilitate that workshop. And we're leaning towards the date of June 5th. It'll be an evening workshop, and it'll be about an hour and a half, and I'll send out calendar invites. And we'll work with making sure CUNA Open News knows about when this is happening and make sure we publish it and work with the city clerk to meet posting deadlines.
Okay.
Given the considerable expense associated with this, I would love it if we could lock in that date firm, like within the next week or so.
We're good on our side as long as you all are good.
Okay. Is everybody committed to June 5th up here?
Sure.
I think I did already via email.
Just say yes. You can quit your job.
If not, we need to pick a new date because it. We're spending like $360 a person.
Yes, and I have to commit, set a date in stone, and I'll make sure I'm there one way or another. If I call in sick, I call in sick, and this is on public record, so there we go.
Okay, and it is Wednesday evening, the hope being that it would be after work hours, but yeah. Okay, solid.
Very good.
On that note, I move we approve Resolution R35-2019.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Resolution R35-2019. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
We have a request for $4,566 from Contingency Fund to send three employees to Cassell Conference for training. Nancy Stauffer.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, Nancy Stauffer, Human Resource Director. He pretty much just said it. I would like to request $4,500 along with Jared Empey to send two of his employees and myself to the Cassell Conference. We've recently switched over to the new Cassell software. It's got a whole bunch of new bells and whistles that I think would be very beneficial that we go and learn. Any questions?
Yeah, it is a pretty complicated system, so
it
I think
very
it's
complicated
definitely.
System. And it does all of my payroll, and it does timekeeping, and it does human resources, and does all of utility billing.
I was just going to say, for the record, if you could tell us what it covers, but you just did, so we're
and
good to go.
And also, in case anybody cares, I think that's a peony.
A peony? I don't know. Peonies are more like floaty.
I think Bob is correct.
Okay, I move we approve the expenditure of $4,500.66 from the contingency fund to send three employees to the Cassell Conference for training.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the expenditure of $4,566.66 from contingency fund to send three employees to the Cassell Conference training. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Request for direction on a potential workshop for rate study. Bob Bachman.
Mayor and Council, for the record, Bob Bachman, City of CUNA Public Works Director. I brought it up in the last council meeting that we were ready to move forward with the rate study. We thought it'd be best to do a workshop first and then get some recommendations out of that and then bring it back for council approval at another time. So my request is just to get clear direction from you guys if you want to just do that as part of the city council meeting on the
21st
or if we want to do it before the city council meeting. I would guess we probably need an hour. We would have our consultant come in and do most of the presentation, and then I'm sure Jared and I would help him out with that.
Question.
Yes.
Is this what we already sat through, or is it more refined given the input that we provided?
It's more refined given the input you provided. It's probably, I would say, 90% of what you guys already saw. Basically took the input that was given to us and then took it to the next level.
Okay.
Basically, we took a little deeper approach at it from a couple of different angles, and the results were similar to what you guys saw, but a little deeper.
Given that we have volunteered for this committee, Would it be preferable to have us just meet with you guys again and refine input and then bring it to full council, or would it be better to have all council do it? I'm looking for your feedback.
I think that could work. I think it's probably close enough to what you guys saw that it would be fairly quick if we did it that way. If we wanted to do that, and then we could probably skip that part, just bring it straight to council for with a recommendation and approval, request to approve or not. It is pretty, as you saw, pretty in depth. I think it's 160 pages or so.
Yeah, so I think that would be my thoughts on that too. Would be when we put together a committee, they come back and give us recommendations. So it'd probably be appropriate for them to finish that off, come back, make a recommendation, and then we can get a summary of information for the rest of the council.
So just so I understand correctly, we would meet with you guys again, go over it, and then the next time we meet would actually be at a council meeting, making a recommendation.
Yeah.
For council.
I think that makes sense, if that works for you. I don't know if you guys have a goal for when you wanted it at full council, or if you were thinking workshopping it next time, and therefore the earliest would be June. But we could either schedule a time now, or you can just loop back with us.
I'll probably just loop back with you guys, okay. Send you an email. My biggest concern about bringing it to the full council without a workshop of some sort would be the amount of depth that goes into would be my biggest concern. I would guess during a council meeting it's going to take an hour to hour and a half to get through, so that would be my only concern with this after meeting to you guys bringing it straight to council.
How about if we send that document to the entire council just to review? That would certainly be something we don't want to comment on because that would be inappropriate, but they could look through it, review some things, get an overview of it, and then we continue the rest of it with the...
Yeah, to make sure we're on the same page, because I don't want to duplicate efforts by any means.
Right.
But my thought was, and I think this is the first time that a subcommittee that I've been involved with on an in-depth thing has actually brought it back for some action. So I could be wrong. But my hope would be that given that we already have insight and perspective on what you showed us last time, what we said, okay, hone in on this part, let's go with that, and then, whatever you're presenting to us, that we would be able to summarize. And, I mean, if other folks want, way more in-depth, but they would have the assurance of knowing that, we've sat in on a couple hours of meetings of the way more in-depth, and here's what we're recommending. So they certainly wouldn't be foreclosed from getting the full hour, 60 to 90 minute version. But if they choose to go with the summary and stuff, then in theory, I don't know. I mean, I defer to you guys in terms of what you think would be most.
I think efficient. A summary will probably take care of it. I mean, it's going to hit the basics of what the purpose was, where what we found out, and what direction we think we need to go. And
okay.
So I think we can do it that way.
And then you can obviously provide insight at the meeting, but we can also answer questions about why we said do this or that or whatever if needed.
Okay, that would be fine.
You can explain yourself?
Yeah. Got some explaining to do.
All right, thank you. consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-12, a municipal ordinance of the city council of the city of CUNA, amending Title I of the CUNA City Code by the addition thereto of a new Chapter 17, providing for an agency fund, and providing funds purpose, and providing the fund's name, and providing standards for deposits to the fund, and providing for the fund's accounting distribution restrictions and investment guidelines, and providing for the transfer of the fund's income to the city's general fund, and amending Title I of the CUNA City Code by the addition thereto of a new Chapter 18, providing for a public depository law compliance, and stating a purpose, and providing for the process of designating of the city's depository and providing for the process of certification of city funds for investment, and providing for investment guidelines and accounting of investment interest, and directing the city clerk, and providing an effective date.
Is there a background on this?
Jared, do you want to give an overview of what that is?
Mayor, City Council, this is Jared Empey, City Treasurer. So the background on this is we periodically receive deposits from developers through cash bond agreements, and currently the way it works is we receive those monies and we put that money in the First Interstate Bank account. However, due to the increase in interest rates, it becomes advantageous to receive some sort of interest on that money. So just to give you some perspective, currently we have $1.8 million in First Interstate Bank. And so the purpose behind this is, since the money isn't technically ours, we had to write an ordinance to specifically allow us to keep any interest that was earned off of those deposits.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes.
I got a question, Jared. Those funds are insured for SDIC, I believe. What, $250,000 is the maximum?
Council Member Cardoza, that's correct.
Do we have an obligation if that bank fails for the amount over and above that $250,000?
I could not give an opinion as to that. However, my feeling would be that we may.
Do you happen to know, Bill, what as a municipality, if our obligation, if we are caretaking of that money, our obligation on a failure of a bank would be to make up the difference?
Bill Gay-Gray, City Attorney, and Mr. Mayor, Councilman Cardoza, I think that your obligation would be that if we are using reasonable and prudent efforts in following the Idaho Depository Compliance, and you'll see that as Chapter 18 of Title I, which is really the Idaho law as to what you have to do with public funds. And, you know, if you feel like you want to have all your funds deposited where there's FDIC coverage, then we're going to have to spread it around in quite a few institutions in order to do that. And as you'll see in that part of this proposed ordinance, the Idaho Depository Law also provides, and you're supposed to certify once every 6 months, which I think you're doing on a regular basis with your financial report, those funds which are not used for reasonably anticipated operational expenses within the certified period, and then you're allowed to invest those funds in all kinds of investments, as you will see in here, which Idaho Code Section 671210 provides. And oddly enough, there's all kinds of things you can do. And I've got one situation where we're actually having one government entity that has surplus funds because they're holding them for capital improvement in a future fiscal year, where they could actually buy tax anticipation notes from another government entity at a higher interest rate than they're getting. I think as long as you're using reasonable investment practices, as long as you're following the Idaho Depository Law, and I can tell you Jared does a good job and he's going to follow that, I think we're fine. Okay. We can't have any more. We're not insurers against national disasters. We just can't be. And I do think that it's extremely laborious, the amount of funds that you have to deposit, because you have proprietary funds, you have general funds, you have all these funds to spread them about in so many institutions and under the requirements we have under the law, that I think reasonable efforts is where the standard will be held to.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Good. Thank you.
I move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2019-12.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of Ordinance 2019-12. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Motion carried.
I move we approve ordinance 2019-12.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2019-12. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Buben Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve summary publication of ordinance 2019-12.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve a summary publication of ordinance 2019-12. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-13, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings, enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors Challenger Development Incorporated, and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto or pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the New York Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2019-13.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2019-13. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2019-13.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2019-13. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Buben Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-14, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors Biltmore Company, LLC, and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Boise CUNA Irrigation District owners and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2019-14.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2019-14. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2019-14.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance 2019-14. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Buben Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-15. An ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors DB Development LLC and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide the notice of this ordinance to the Nampa Meridian Irrigation District, the owners, and update and the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
I move we approve, I'm sorry, I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2019-15.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2019-15. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
I move we approve ordinance 2019-15.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2019-15. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Buben Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-16, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of this CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors Toll ID 1 LLC, and declaring the water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Boise CUNA Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
I move we waive three readings of ordinance number 2019-16.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance number 2019-16. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2019-16.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2019-16. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boothman Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2019-17, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors DB Development LLC and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto are pooled for delivery purposes and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law and directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Boise CUNA Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map and providing an effective date.
I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2019-17.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2019-17. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2019-17.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2019-17. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boothman Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries, and thank goodness we got through all those. Mayor and Council announcements. I don't know, Chris, do you want to mention the grant?
We were awarded the CDBG grant for $500,000. Our team did a presentation to them, and we were successful. So we just got notification of that, so we're pretty excited. It's for downtown phase two. And we are waiting for the official for another $700,000. But that's not it. We haven't got the official yes, but we anticipate it. So at this point, our team's looking that we'll do the finish the last 5% of engineering by end of summer, go out for bid in the fall, and construct in early 2020 to finish out phase two. So pretty excited.
And Kelsey Holder was our representative for the business community that came in and presented for us, and he did a great job.
He did.
Very happy to.
I think our whole team did a great job. I mean, we had one of those days where we were our best selves, so it worked for us because we got, you know, back-to-back grants for $500,000, so we're pretty happy about that.
Excellent. Thank you.
Anything? Bobby? Bobby's got it.
Mayor, Council, for the record, Bobby with Rowe Parks Director. Update on the splash pad. We are almost ready for it. We have Vortex coming out to do training the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. So pending no major issues, it should be up and running for Memorial Day weekend.
Are we having, like, an official event or anything?
It'll probably be after the weekend. Okay. So it'll be the next week. And then also May 17th is going to be CUNA's Arbor Day, and we will also be dedicating the Greenbelt to Greg Nelson. So we're going to be doing that at 2 p.m. If you guys could be there, that'd be awesome.
Okay.
That's it.
Remind me.
Yeah, let's send out an invite to council and I guess all city staff, as far as that goes. Anything else? Yes.
Quick question. Over the years, we've looked at buying that ACHD parcel of land. What's happening with it, Bob? We were going to trade at one time with ACHD. And
Mayor and Council, for the record, Bob Bachman. We're still in talks with ACHD about trading, doing a land swap. The area that we thought we would swap probably isn't the best piece of property for the city to swap just because it was a piece of the 20 acres over on Meadowview.
Mm-hmm.
our new economic development director is very aggressively wanting us to maybe find another use for that land. So we're hoping to just throw you under the bus, but we're trying to find another piece that's probably a better use for ACHD and ourselves to swap for. Also, with we're also, since Bobby bought the Parks Department bought the Zamzos property, we're looking to make sure that still fits with exactly what we need, or if we can tie our needs into that property somehow. So I think that our goal is to make sure we give that a good hard look and make sure we're making the proper recommendation.
Okay. It just seems like it'd be a good fit right next to Zamzos Park is why I wondered.
Yes. So. Yeah.
And one thing about Kunis City staff is we like to throw each other under the bus on a daily basis. So. Lisa, did you want to say something?
Chris says to not try and save myself because it's not going to help. Lisa Holland, Economic Development Director. I think when we've got a community asset like 20-acre parcel, I think we should just take a hard look at what the best and highest use of it is for the city. And so whether that would be integration with parks, whether that would be a land swap, whether that would be something that could be used to promote economic development at some point, I think it'd be good to have a discussion as staff and with the mayor and council to really determine what would the best use would be, and that's what the conversation's been. So that's all I got for now.
No.
Very good. Anything further?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, if we're looking at ACHD property, we got to make sure that it's not right-of-way property, because if it is, they'll have to vacate it. I mean,
No, it's not.
Good, because that would really complicate things. Thank you.
Okay, anything further? All right, we do need an executive session, actually, on two issues. One would need to include council, Bob, and Bill. And the second would need to include Bill, Council, Nancy, and Chris.
I move we adjourn to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code Section 74206(1)(f) to communicate with legal counsel for the public agency to discuss the legal ramifications of and legal options for pending litigation or controversies not yet being litigated but imminently likely to be litigated. Is there a second?
Second. Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
Matter of procedure, if yes, I might, Mr. Mayor, Bill Gigray, City Attorney, for the part of the executive, excuse me.
Go ahead.
For the part of the executive session that Chris is not in attendance, since she's the clerk, you need to appoint a secretary to take minutes of that part of the executive session. It's been me before, and I can do it, and I can send it to Chris.
Yes, I heard council volunteer.
Very good.